Ever since I can remember, I viewed society as a herd of sheep. Sitting alone during my aunt's New Year's Eve party, I observed all the other girls sporting the latest in tight-fitting fashions and clamoring for acknowledgement from the rest of the community. Covered with mirror work, the modern Indian dresses flattered their slim figures, and I grudgingly admired their ability to adapt to the constant changes of modern beauty standards. I was also one such sheep. However, every attempt made to gain approval was thwarted by my disproportionate figure. Whenever I lumbered into the crowd, it was painfully obvious that I didn't fit in. The mirror work scratched at my skin and the inflexible fabric stretched desperately about the seams, and as a result, I avoided talking to most of the girls for fear of being taunted. My mother even affectionately named me Pot to suit my round form. It was then in my melodramatic preteen years that I found solace in a garment that most 12-year-olds would look at with distaste, the sari. The large swath of fabric has a nearly 3,000-year-old history, and those who wore it were expected to be at least in their 20s. 12-year-old girls often got lost in the cloth, tripping over the excessive cloth that they did not have the curves to fill. So naturally, when my mother and aunts whisked me off to go wedding shopping, that was not what they had in mind. The store clerk laid out a multitude of colorful dresses, all beautifully modeled in a magazine of tall, slim women. As I tried each dress to no avail, I heard my mother muttering something to my aunts. I strained my ears and immediately regretted it. "Make sure your daughter never gains weight like Sandhya has. It causes many problems, both for her and me. It's different with boys. They can manage. But having a girl who's like that is difficult." I felt my face burn in embarrassment, and I slinked as far away from the group as I could. That was when I saw it. As I gravitated towards the teal-colored sari, the store clerk flashed me a condescending smile and tried to steer me towards a salwar that would languish in the face of my broad shoulders. It was then that my mother explained to me with growing impatience that it was not socially acceptable for a child to wear a sari. With the impending arrival of my cousin's wedding, I found myself at a crossroads. Try to gain acknowledgement from those around me by sticking to the ill-fitting modern clothes, or simply remain satisfied with my own comfort. For days, I pondered whether I should give up the selfish notion in my head, but seeing myself in the sari, all my doubts were lost. When the wedding came around, I wore the very teal sari that had first sparked my inspiration. Unlike the salwars that constantly tried to alter my figure every which way, the sari left me with the simple, soft curves that I constantly tried to hide. The sudden realization that the person reflected in the mirror was me, the real me, and I was beautiful. In a single moment, all my paranoia about the community's acceptance rushed out. I knew who I was and therefore needed no other acknowledgement. With this in mind, I straightened my shoulders and walked with pride, and to my surprise, people noticed. Aunts and uncles who had barely spoken to me came gushing with compliments, and my grandparents beamed with pride, remarking how well I carried myself. After this sari, I wore many more, and even began seeing a few miniature counterparts imitating me. That first sari led me to understand the paradox that social acceptance does not come to those who seek it, but to those who have accepted themselves first. I realized that being a woman was not confined to sleek dresses and the need to keep up with fashion. Being a woman, even a traditional Indian woman, is a fluid identity, not defined by society, but from within. That day, at the age of 12, I fully embraced my identity as an Indian woman, not by age, looks, or experience, but by my character.